Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and today's conversation is with Craig Fugate, Administrator of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Dave Abel.
Can you elaborate on emerging challenges facing your organization and how you envision the role of your agency evolving over the next 5 years to meet those challenges?
Let's take climate adaptation. Climate change is greatly debated as to what the impacts are going to be. It's not something empirical that you can come back and say there's absolutely going to be the following things. But we know that as climate change occurs, we are going to see weather patterns change. And most people think of that immediately in sea level rise or extreme weather. It could actually be rainfall patterns, drought cycles, impacts to growing seasons, and also the spread of diseases that have not been present in the United States for some time that are tropical in nature. An example is with one disease is dengue fever. Dengue fever is a tropical disease. It's endemic throughout much of the Caribbean. What happens if that gets into the tropical areas and the more southern parts of the United States, and what the impacts would be upon the public health system? We tend to be boxed in and people say you just do natural hazards. But you also have to realize within the natural hazards world, disease outbreaks can be just as much of an event that requires this coordination as an earthquake, a landslide, a wildfire. We saw this with H1N1. And again, we're not the lead, we're not the experts, but how do we support communities? Because what happens if H1N1 was worse than what it was? And that we didn't have a vaccine, and it now began affecting not only the impacts of the medical sector because of the people that were sick, but the ability of a community to provide essential services such as impacts to law enforcement or simple things like truck drivers bringing in food and supplies. So not so much focusing on what the events are, but what kind of consequences different events could produce. So things like diseases, which have never really had the forefront until you start talking about pandemic-type planning, but could impact communities because of the impacts to sick workers and the impacts to how you deliver services, to looking at things that we probably are more vulnerable today than we were previously because of the evolution of how we're using our technology and the dependence upon technology and its inherent vulnerabilities to disruption, such as cyber attacks. More and more as we go to more automated systems and we continue to use that, that vulnerability is growing. People said, you know, probably 5 or 6 years ago, the threat may have been overstated. But today they're saying we're rethinking that because as we go into more and more systems that are automated, are using internet-based technologies, the vulnerabilities are growing. What happens if either through accident or by design we have failures? While Y2K was basically seen as an overhyped non-event, the lessons of Y2K should never be forgotten, and that was even in 2000. The interdependency upon systems that produce far-ranging effects far beyond the original point of the event. So in 2005, in Hurricane Wilma, we saw this in Florida. We had power outages lasting for weeks. We didn't recognize or realize that the additional impacts would start stressing the system, such as, yes, we could get fuel on the ports. Yes, we could get fuel from the ports, but the gas stations had no power to pump the gasoline. 6 million people in an area of South Florida aren't going to do very well when in 2 and 3 weeks later, they still do not have the ability to get gasoline for basic daily transportation. It began impacting hospital staffing. It actually impacted the National Hurricane Center staffing. You would not have thought of that in your original plans, but that is the consequences of widespread power outages impacting a lot of private infrastructure that was not coming back online as had normally occurred in previous hurricanes. But because this storm was so widespread and the impact so great that even weeks into it, we saw major disruptions in normal community activities driven by power outages that we were now having to respond to far beyond what we thought was the original response phase of the disaster.
Craig, what advice would you give a person who's considering a career in public service and maybe emergency management?
Never pass up the opportunity to volunteer, whether it's in a local response organization like Red Cross or your local county response agencies or city response agencies. But the tendency is, I think, a lot of people are now pursuing degrees. There's more degree programs than ever in emergency management, which is a good thing. The best teaching you'll ever get is the opportunity to serve in a disaster or to participate in exercises to get that experience of what things are like that are not always easily conveyed in a classroom setting. But if you're going to do this, recognize it's not about you being in charge. It's not about you having a lot of power, and it's not about you getting a lot of credit. If things work well, somebody else will be getting the credit, which is good. The team will get recognized, which is good. And the pay in the government sector is what the pay is in the government sector. However, if you fail, you will get a lot of attention. You will live with the consequences of it. And it's not for the faint-hearted. This is, again, very much like I found out being a paramedic. It's not always about the lights and sirens calls. Most of the time you're doing hospital transfers or you're moving people that could probably have gotten to the hospital just fine by car. But in those few cases where you make a difference, it's worth everything. Same thing in disasters. We spend bulk of our time working and building teams, struggling through the bureaucracy and battles of budget and authorities and building and practicing and for something that for most emergency managers may be a once-in-a-lifetime event. But if it works well, don't expect to be the hero. And if things don't work well, expect to be the goat.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today, but more importantly, Dave and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country.
Well, it's an honor. And again, people want more information about what we do. Our websites are FEMA.gov. And for those of you that have heard this and say, hey, maybe I want to get a little bit better prepared for me and my family, we also have ready.gov, which can help you prepare yourself and your family, even your small business, before the next disaster strikes.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Craig Fugate, administrator of the Federal Emergency Management Agency within the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. My co-host has been Dave Abel, IBM's Vice President for Homeland Security. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.